So praying in tongues is absolutely necessary. And that's something the body of Christ got away from, is praying in tongues. We stop depending on the one who is in the earth, and that's God, the Holy Spirit. And we diminish his assignment unto us. And so therefore we're living like mere men. We're living just like the world. We talk like them, we look like them, we act like, respond like them. Why? Because we're not praying in tongues anymore. We're not communicating directly with the headquarters the way we should. So you're getting these sketchy things. You're trying to grab what you can grab from somebody else that's teaching and preaching. But that, see, that's only to get you started. Say initiate. You're supposed to take what you hear from church and go home and nurse it. And how do I nurture? I'm going to go back over everything that it was taught. Then I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because, see, God need to talk to you directly for you. Concerning what you're hearing. And if you're not doing that, you're missing the plan for your life. Because you can't live off the plan for my life. Now, we'll work us together, but praying in tongues is the key. It's the key. Remember I told you, say, every government has their own language. It's not a country unless it's got a language. So the kingdom of heaven has a language. It's called praying in tongues. All right, so in the colony, the king talks through. I'm not going back and rehash all that. You need to go back and look at the services because it's just too much. I'd be stuck. I kind of thought of my husband when I said, baby, you was good at recapping. But, you know, he could get a whole nother sermon just on recapping. That's exactly right. He would preach another hour and a half sometime on a recap and still didn't get to the notes that he wanted you to know. So I'm trying not to be that today. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I'm not going to recap. You need to go back and look at the services. So in the colony, the king talks through the governor, who is the Holy Spirit. So all conversations are held through the governor. That's why it's so important that you pray in tongues, because you're not going to know what God is saying through the governor without praying in tongues. I'm trying to encourage you. So you have to listen to what the Spirit has to say. How are you going to hear what he has to say? See, because direction, say direction, comes from you, the spirit man. It's not going to come from your head. So he's not talking to your head. It's an inward witness. And if that inward witness is dull because it's not being used, he has a difficult time passing a message to you. Because now he got to fight through your soul, because you're not praying in the Holy Ghost keeps your soul in control. And whatever thoughts come into your mind, see, that's what'll control you all through your life and your day if you're not careful. So one of the notes I wrote down, we are not to pray to Jesus. That's something that needs to be corrected, because we're trying to bypass the Holy Spirit and pray to Jesus. Jesus said in the last day, he said, in that day, you're not going to pray to me. It's going to help some of you, because we still say, Jesus, you're not praying to Jesus. You pray to the Father through Jesus. By the Holy Spirit. This is why you must see, if your life is praying in tongues more than it is in English, you'd be surprised how answers get to you faster. Because the English will hinder you if you're not careful. And it's so limited. So English is limited. So we pray to the Father, who is the government. You know, sometimes we get confused. Are there three different gods, or how is that done? You yourself are a triune person. You're made in his image, right? And in his likeness. If that's the case, you can be a mother, a daughter, and a sister. You're the same person. Three different functions. And depending on what I have to do, That's how I operate. So when you try to diminish the Holy Spirit as though he's not as important as God the Father or God Jesus, you're doing yourself an injustice. You're telling, I don't need that part of you, when you need all of God. It says, pray to the Father who's the government in Jesus' name, who authorizes your prayer, and the governor will deliver it. So they work together because they're all three different functions, but it's the same God. There's one God, one spirit, and one faith. We're going to get it right in just a few minutes. Amen. When you pray in tongues, you cannot make a mistake. You can't make a mistake praying in tongues. There is no wrong, incorrect prayers praying in tongues. This is why the devil don't want you to do it, because you bypass everything he can infiltrate. Man. Because when you pray in English, chances are you are going to make your own suggestions to God. We're going to come with our script, what we need, what we think we need. But when you go to God praying in tongues first, honoring him based on protocol. When you come up out of prayer, the words that you thought you might want to say in English are not the words he'll tell you to say sometimes. Woo. I'm telling you, it's such a powerful tool that, you know, and I look at it like this. If it was of the devil to pray in tongues, don't you think most heathens would pray in tongues? Why is there such a war against it if it has no power? Because it does. You're building yourself up when you obey that commandment. You are causing yourself, you the spirit man, not your flesh, to become the person in charge. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 3. I think I want to go verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I believe. See, because I began to study, and I began to say, now, if Jesus had to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, who are we to say we don't need this part of us? He was functioning as a man like you and I. So he had to have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding him. Even though he had committed no sin, he was in an environment where there was sin. And when you're living in an environment where there's sin, you better operate with the Holy Ghost. Because I'm just here to tell you, the devil gonna make you a dummy. He's going to rob you. He's going to steal from you. He's trying to destroy your life. He's trying to destroy your influence. You talk a lot of stuff about Christian, 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 but you walk away with no proof. Look at verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist teaching. But he that cometh after me, say after me, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the what? Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he would thoroughly purge his floor, or thoroughly, however you want to pronounce it, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he would burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So we see here, Jesus had to be baptized himself. Because John said, there's one coming mightier than me. But watch this. Going down to verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. So John had been teaching that the Jesus baptism would be much greater than the baptism he was performing. what he was doing, baptizing them in water. And there is nothing wrong with water baptism. It is part of our Christian life. You can be water baptized, but it's not the mandate. You can go to heaven without being water baptized. But let me help you. You're going to be suffering a whole lot if you are not Holy Ghost baptized. And you'll be suffering unnecessarily because water baptism don't seal it for you. It does not seal it for you. Because that's not the stamp that Jesus left us. The Holy Spirit is the seal of authorization. So John had been explaining that to them, how that Jesus would be much greater. But he says he's going to come, but he's going to cause you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But John, look at verse 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. But I thought John was the pastor at that time. He doing the preaching and baptizing people. And Jesus go, why? Say protocol. Because Jesus had to do just like you do. He had to show sign. He's in the flesh, operating like you and I. Because you can't see. This one thing the church got away from. We think we can do anything. We can just go to and be any kind of way we want to be, and then we're going to be right with God, just go to church. No. Jesus had to operate in protocol in order to be filled for the mission. It was not a suggestion. He told John, he said, look at verse 15. And Jesus said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He says, something has to be fulfilled. I got to let the people know that I'm connected to you and you're connected to me. So he said, baptize me. One, because he had committed sin, but it was an outward demonstration. So that people can't say, well, he didn't get baptized. Because he hadn't died and ratified the new birth, right? So being baptized into John's baptism was a sign of believing what John was teaching. And he fulfilled that. Look at verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And to a voice from heaven, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus had to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just like you and I. Turn over to chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Now we see Jesus already filled. And look what the first thing said, afterward. Now Jesus had to be filled. Why? He getting ready to go on a mission. You can't work for the kingdom without the Holy Spirit. Anything you do apart from the Holy Spirit is flesh. And you're really not getting credit for it. You're doing a good work, but you get no credit for it. I know that's hard to bite. But I'm talking about protocol now in the kingdom. We do a lot of good activities that the Holy Spirit is not involved in. And there's nothing wrong with good activities. It's not because they are harmful, but if you think that makes you tight with God, you missed it. The first thing is to surrender to the Holy Spirit. That's right. You must surrender to the Holy Spirit first. That's your first assignment as a believer. It's to yield to the Holy Spirit. Because he has the direction and the assignment for God, for you. And what we do, we take a lot of time after getting born again before we allow ourselves to be filled, which means we fill our lives with a lot of religious activities that give us no brownie points because they were not ushered in by the Spirit of God. I know you, hey, hold on. I didn't say you were going to hell. I just said you're not getting any brownie points. That's all I'm saying. Don't think it's going to register in heaven as credit. You cannot function in the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit. See, that's a religious ideal. And it did not come from God. Because he wants us to depend on the Holy Spirit. That's why he sent him. Woo, Jesus. Because he's supposed to teach us and lead us and guide us and correct us. And reprove us if necessary. Afterward, look at verse 1, chapter 4 of Matthew. The Holy Spirit said, lay it. Who did the leading? Who did the leading? Oh, no, Jesus went on his own. Now, if Jesus had to be led of the Holy Spirit, who are you? It said Jesus was led into the wilderness, which means he had been pre-equipped to win. You can't lose when the Holy Spirit is leading you. Woo, Jesus. I know. You don't have to shout right now. You can shout later. It'll catch up with you when you get home, when you realize I just need to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is why you got to get up every day expecting the Spirit of God to lead you. And you got to give him your due diligence. You got to give him time so he can tell you. He might tell you, don't go down such and such street today and prevent an accident or prevent you from wasting your time or the traffic can be tied up. Anything can be happening. The Spirit of God will direct you. Oh, Jesus. And if Jesus allowed him to direct him while he was here on the earth, we must do so also. And it says he led him into the wilderness. Why? Because Jesus was anointed for the mission that he was called unto. So being tempted was part of his Jesus' mission. It was not an accident or a coincidence. It wasn't even devil playing. The Holy Spirit led him because he had to show us how to overcome in the flesh. It wasn't the devil telling Jesus what to do. No. The Holy Spirit was guiding Jesus. He says, look, you know so-and-so going to be there. We don't want to give him no glory, so I don't even want to call his name in the same room. You know he's going to be there. And I'm going to take you where he's at, and I'm going to show you how to beat him. Just lean on me. Just trust me. We're going to whip his hips, and he ain't going to know what to do with you. And Jesus did exactly. That's why Jesus said, and when the devil challenged him with words, Jesus said, the scriptures say, the Holy Spirit told him what to say. The scriptures say, bread alone. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. See, he went right back to the Constitution and quoted to the devil what the Constitution said. Oh, you can't overthrow the Constitution. There is nothing greater than God's word. Can't nothing overcome God's word. There is no law, there is no issue that is greater than God's word. Man, you better put that in your heart and begin to believe that one. Because that's what Jesus leaned on. And I can see the Holy Spirit said, you said it right, that's right. He coming back, he going to come back with another little trick. Watch him, he coming. See, he'll tell you these things. And it can almost be humorous. Because you got the edge. You got the one on the inside telling you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And we see what the devil tried. He says, look at verse 7. Jesus used the word on him again. It is written. Jesus did not have to come up with what the Lord said and this and that, and you need to leave me alone, and I ain't scared of you. No, Jesus said, it's written. He didn't even have to break a sweat. He said, it's written. You're not allowed to tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not, in other words, that word shall means you must not. You're not allowed to do that. It's illegal for you to tempt God. He went lawyer on him. The Holy Spirit said, let's go lawyer on him. And he says, you know, the word says it is illegal for you to tempt God. Ooh, Jesus. I've been in some situations where the Holy Spirit had to tell me what to say on the spot. Because people be trying to steal from you. Ooh. You have an enemy out there. So Jesus was sent on a mission. Why? To show us how to defeat the devil while in the flesh. Look at Mark 1:12. See, it said it's almost the same scenario. And immediately, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. See, you're never alone when the Holy Spirit is leading you. See, there was no fear present because Jesus knew the Holy Spirit was with him. There was no fear present. And when you're living in fear, it's because the Holy Spirit is not big in you yet. The Bible says the love of God would cancel, it would cancel out torment. It would get rid of fear. And when you are perfected in love. Woo. And it says, now after that, John was put into prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the what? Kingdom. He didn't come preaching Christianity or a new religion. He came preaching the kingdom. Ah. See, the Holy Spirit make you kingdom minded. Glory to God. Look at Matthew. Is that the where I want to go? Look at Matthew 28. Go back to Matthew. I know. Matthew 28. And look at verse 18. Now this is Jesus telling us what we should do. Said, this is me now, Jesus talking about. He says, I want to read that out of the Passion Translation. I'm going to start with verse 17. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him, but some still had lingering doubts, like a lot of Christians. Then Jesus came close to them and said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is never supposed to be dialed out of any equation. I don't care what you're dealing with. He says, if you're going to make disciples, you need the Holy Spirit. If you're going to deal with sickness, you need the Holy Spirit. You know, I can remember... And my husband, we talked about it. It wasn't funny because the person died, but this person had cancer. And, you know, he was used to going to people's houses and praying with them and stuff like that. But he said, and he had prayed. But, you know, sometimes in your enthusiasm, that's why you have to be careful that you don't let your enthusiasm drive you but let the Holy Spirit lead you. Because had he taken a moment, he might not have never prayed for the woman because the woman wasn't believing nothing. And I mean, we went into there, and I mean, she smelled like cancer. She looked like cancer. And I'm standing still. I'm kind of quiet, but I'm noticing how the family is responding. You know, Jesus put all the doubters out. That's what we should have done. Because surrounding this lady, no matter how much we prayed, her whole, her base of family were unbelievers or religious people. So all she was filled with was what they were saying. You know, the Lord going to heal you. Don't worry about it. And I know this is all you got to hear all day. I know you're going through pain, and the Lord is with the pain. And don't worry, you know, you're going to die. You listen to that all day. Good people dying because they got wrong stuff around them. So it didn't matter what we prayed. It was what could access her. See, God not going to override her will. This is why you got to be led of the Spirit of God. When to even pray for people. Because everybody not ready for prayer. Now, you can always go home and pray and intercede for the person. But you may not be able to lay hands on them at the moment. You got to be led. Say led. Because praying for people is a mission. It is not a hobby. It is not something you do to make yourself look good. It is a mission. And it must be orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, or else you're not going to get the results you think. Ooh, Jesus. He says, all authority has been given unto me. Now you go in my authority. And whose authority? Jesus' authority. So he says, the same power that is in me, I'm putting in you. So that means if he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's the power that used him, then I must have the Holy Spirit too to be used. I'm going to make a mess without the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get confused, and I'm going to confuse people. I'm going to get discouraged because I'm trying to do what I think is right. And a lot of people mean well, don't get me wrong. But you can't go pray for people and you don't know what the Holy Spirit said to do. And you can't copy somebody else's style. Hear me. You can't imitate somebody else's style of praying for somebody. Because then you're doing it for show. And it's not going to work. It must be orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. This is why you had to get up with the mandate. I need the Holy Spirit to tell me where to go, who to talk to, what to say. And he's going to tell me at the time if I need to pray for this person right here. I'm expecting him to tell me that I need to pray for somebody today. And he'll lead you to the person that he's got you on assignment to. He says, your mission is to do what I did. And that's, you know, that's called W-O-R-K. That's called work. That's not J-O-B. Remember last week, they are not the same. Man, I tell you, when I learned this lesson, living as a Christian became so easy and simple for me. It just took all the stress. I mean, because you can go to bed stressed out trying to have faith. Well, you can just pray in tongues and begin to build you up. Faith will come. Dial it out. Faith will come. And sometimes when your mind is being bombarded, the greatest asset you have is the Holy Spirit. You can lay in your bed and say, you can lie in your bed and begin to pray in tongues. And he'll give you a revelation. And unconfused, that's a new word, unconfused all the stuff that's trying to bombard your mind at that moment. And he said, move out the way. I got it. Move out the way. Take your flesh out of it. Just stop. 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 I got it. He said, go to sleep. Woo, Jesus. Man, one of the greatest tools you ever have in your life, an asset, is the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to help you say, you're driving at home because you need it. It's so missing in the body of Christ. This is why we got so much a mess going on in the body of Christ now, because people are not praying in tongues. They're not living as a Christian, as a citizen. I got to stop saying Christian, because that is just such a terrible term now. That, you know, I heard somebody on Instagram hollering they were a Christian, and I'm looking at them. The devil is a lie. If you one, that's like saying the devil's a Christian. And y'all other time, did you hear so-and-so say they're a Christian? Because in your mind, Christian is one thing. What they thinking as Christian is not the same. It's to bring confusion. But if you're not discerning it, you're going to start following people because they use the name Christian. You need the Holy Spirit to discern who to look at. And I'm going like, oh, the devil is a lie. You're not anywhere near God yet. You still twerking? No, You still cussing? You still lying? You just loose as a goose in the wind? Nope. Don't call Christian. All because they said they sung one little song. Now I ain't gonna call the name of the group because y'all might know them. And I ain't got no lawsuit time. But they put one Christian song, supposedly, on a whole album of nothing but go get, do. And believers bought it for the one song, but then you got all the trash in your house. All they sung was, Jesus is love. You should have known that one. You ain't had to go buy that CD. You should have been singing that song all the time. Jesus is love. And he won't let you down. You didn't need the world to tell you that. But when you're not depending on the Holy Spirit, you'll be deceived by words of people. Ooh, Jesus. And we never get to do the mission we called unto, because we're trying to follow somebody else who is not dependent on the Holy Spirit. Ooh, Jesus. Man, I'm going to tell you the truth. Y'all know the group. Don't even try. I ain't going to say it. Y'all trying to make me say it. I ain't doing it. So, because everybody, you old enough, you know the group. And if you're young enough, you might know them. But if not, ask your mama or your daddy. They'll tell you. Because they know. But Jesus is telling us what to do with this authority that he's put inside of us. Who's the authority? The Holy Spirit. He authorizes every activity. It has to be with his stamp of approval. He is the same power that Jesus depended on when he was in the earth. Mm. And he says, and a part of your assignment is to teach them to faithfully follow, like you're supposed to be faithfully following the teachings that Jesus taught. What did Jesus teach? The kingdom of God. He did not teach Christianity. He taught the kingdom. Mm. It put me in mind of, go to Matthew 25. You're already there. Go to Matthew 25 and look at verse 13. Ah, are you there? Watch therefore, for you know not you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. He says, you got to watch. How you going to watch with no light? Who is the light? The Holy Spirit. He is the living word. And the word is a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. The word is. And the Holy Spirit, he is the living word. He illuminates the word unto you. Oh, Jesus. He says, since you don't know what hour or the day when the Son of Man is coming, he said, you better get lit up and stay lit. For the kingdom of heaven, verse 14, is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, say his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. Whose goods do they belong to? The holders, they belong to God. They belong to the kingdom. So a king has sent a servant to issue goods unto servants. I'm going to get, as we go further, when we come back in the new year, God's giving me another side of this. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's going to really bless you. So hold on, but I'm trying not to double over because, you know, the notes can mess me up sometimes. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So first of all, the people belonged to him and he gave them what belonged to him because they didn't own anything. They didn't even own themselves. You are not your own. You've been purchased with a price. You've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. You've been repurchased with the blood of Jesus. Bought back from a thief. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Say, according to your ability. And straightway took his journey. Now we go down, we see that the one that had 5, he went and traded with the same and made other 5. The 2 did the same. But the one that received 1, he went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, they see the Lord's money. Say the Lord's money. Because along with the assignment comes what? Money. I'm trying to help you. Because you need money. You need to learn about assignment. The money is only allocated for those doing assignment. So you're quoting a scripture. You're even saying what the prophet, Dr. Thompson, said. Not going to help you if you're not on assignment. Ooh. I'm trying to get you out of your religious ideals. Watch this. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? He was working. You can't work without being productive. How many of you go on your job? Don't raise your hand. And you're never productive, and they're going to give you a check. You go to your job. The reason they hired you was to do something they wanted you to do, not bring your agenda and do what you feel like doing. They're not paying you for your dream. They are not going to pay you for your dream. They paying you to fulfill theirs. We've been too Democratic so long, we think we can go to a job and tell the boss what we want and what we don't like, and you don't have that option in a real business. Even though they might have a suggestion box, it's just a suggestion. You don't understand, you need to go look up suggestion. That is not mandatory. That means I hear your, and if it's good, I might use it. If not, then we don't pay you no mind. That's what a suggestion is. It is not a requirement. So they're not going to hire you for your dream. You're being hired to fulfill their dream. When are we going to get that in the kingdom of God? You're not here to showboat or to make come to pass what you want done. The stuff you came from the world within you. You need to lay it down and let God orchestrate your life. You're chasing the whirlwind. Spending a lot of time and money. Getting no results. God trying to frustrate you until you yield. Because that's not his way of doing it. You know, I share this with you. When my husband and I got born again, one of the things that we did when we got married, I'm full of stuff. I didn't know how much stuff I was full of when it comes to business and things like that. It was many things to me. But you had to slow your roll. And that's the Holy Spirit. What am I supposed to do now? I'm a wife and a mother. What takes priority? Those are the priorities right now. Not a business. I know y'all may not like it. See, even my watch in agreement with me. I know you may not like it. And I'm not saying you cannot be an entrepreneur. But what's going to take priority? The children or your business? Now you need to ask God, can I do both at the same time? And then God will give you the plan how to get it done. And it'll be an easy thing to do. But you don't automatically say, well, I can do such and such. And start a business on a talent. Without the Holy Spirit authorizing it. Because your family is going to go to hell. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose your family in the process. Some going to suffer because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. But the world tell you, girl, you don't need no man to do that. Something. Then why you get married if you didn't need a man? Why didn't they tell you that before you got married? The rules change. Oh, I'm messing them. As my husband said, I'm going from preaching to meddling. But anyway, meddling is good sometimes because somebody need to hear that. Somebody listening needed to hear that because you got to get your priorities right. But the Holy Spirit needs to set them for you. Never depend on your talent to do the leading. I could do a lot of things, but none of them were in time at that moment. It would have been out of season. We had 4 children to raise. My husband had to go to a job. He was the breadwinner. He didn't require me to go outside the house and work. He didn't want his wife to work outside the house. We were going to build something together. Are y'all hearing me? But the rush has been, oh, you got to go do this. See, there are many ways of getting it done, but you got to hear the Holy Spirit. He's not trying to shut down women, your ability to do things, because you're so smart. Do you think God put all that in you for it to go to waste? No, it's the way you've been trying to get it done. You're trying to get it done without the leading of the Holy Spirit. But then you bring him your botched up plan and you expect him to authorize and put his seal on it and bless it. But the world is controlling it. No. No. That's not, you're out of order. And it says here, this one guy, he said, I knew, I had already heard about you, that you was a hard man. So he was listening to somebody that didn't know the Lord that was telling him God was hard. That's why he wouldn't obey the mission, because he wasn't praying in tongues. He was listening to kin folks that was telling him, well, you know, when we came up, we had to struggle. Okay? I mean, everybody's parents struggled because they had to set a precedent for you and I. What my mother went through, I didn't have to go through as a married woman. I shouldn't have had to. Oh, Jesus. That's another lesson. Well, look at this. The Lord said, look at verse 26. Look at 25. He says, but the key was he was afraid. What was he afraid of? What was he real afraid of? He was afraid of going to work. He didn't want to go to work. A lot of you are afraid of being used by God because you think he's going to ask you to do something you really don't want to do. So you don't inquire of him what he needs you to do. He says, I was afraid and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord answered him. Now, this is not the kind of answer you would think. The Lord said, you know what? I knew you was afraid, and I can see, understand, because everybody want everybody to stroke them when you've been a victim. See, that's a victim mentality. Somebody should have done something for me when I was this, and now you making every decision in the world without the people that you want to blame. But all of a sudden, you want to blame your daddy, your grandmama, your aunt, your uncle, your sibling. Somebody has been standing in your way while you can't do what God called you to do. Inexcusable. You can't even blame sickness because you have dominion over it. It's the mission that you've been called unto that God is looking at. Not your condition, present or past. Because he know how to fix your condition. He want to know if you're going to go to work. Let me read what I got in my notes and I'm going to come to a close. God provided a gifting to go to work. And along with the gifting, he provided seed to initiate. See, he gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift. And along with the Holy Spirit, he gave us what it takes to start it up. Not put it in the ground and rest our laurels on that. Because now I'm born again, and that's all I need to be. That's just to initiate productivity. They each was to take what had been invested in them and expand or increase the kingdom of heaven territory. They all, say they all, were supposed to work, not just two. All three of them have been called to the same, said the same, the same assignment. But it was according to what each one of them were going to do in particular. One might have been a singer. One might have been a teacher. But it was according to what was put in them by the king. Because the king gives out the gifts. The Holy Spirit distributes them. But the Holy Spirit has authority to authorize the gift working in you. So we have this gift that's been given to us. And we're going to have to give an account for what we have or have not allowed him to do. Because we took the Holy Spirit and buried him, who is the greatest treasure we will ever have. We buried him and act like he doesn't exist. We stopped depending on him, stopped trusting him, and we began to rely upon our senses, our five physical sense, and what we could get done in our own flesh. When there is a God that's living inside of you, that has already given you power over sickness, over lack. He says, go to work. Matthew 6:33 bears it out. He says, go to work. I don't want you to sit down and consider your life like the heathen does. That's what the world does. It's the way the world operates when you die like God and all you do is work. Yeah. All you do is go to a J-O-B, rather. Yeah. You, when you dial out God, you don't even consider God. Most believers, I'm speaking, but I don't know how true it is. I guarantee you, most believers, especially in this time of the year, they're gonna buy themselves a gift and they don't give God nothing.
That's right.
Yeah. But you say this is his birthday. Don't come to his party. Because you'll be an embarrassment. We should be saving up all year long for Christmas. Because we're going to Jesus' birthday party. We're celebrating. I got seeds set aside that I have for this party. See, you're not thinking, you say, wait, you must save for everything. And? Because I'm always asking the Holy Spirit what to do. This is why I lack nothing.
Yeah.
I don't fret over stuff. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is leading me. And when he told me to do a certain thing, I began to do it. And money kept coming. And money kept coming. Why? I was on the mission. Because I wanted to give Jesus a good birthday present. I'm not going to toss him the last $5 after I'd have spent on mama, grandmama, Pookie, Dookie, and everybody else who not even listening to you. And they're not going to remember your gift beyond Christmas Day. They're not even going to appreciate all the labor you put into buying it. How many hours you had to work overtime to get it. See, that's why you don't give to impress people. You better give according to the Spirit of God lead you. Because some people don't need a Christmas gift. They need a whipping. They need some senses knocked into them. They don't need a gift. But you got to hear by the Spirit of God to know how to help a person. Did y'all learn that thing? Come on, stand to your feet.